This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Daily Check-In, a show that looks at all the ways our lives are being shaped by the MCO and the pandemic. I am Lee Chui Lin here in the studio.
Hi, folks. I'm Hezrul Ashraf, joining in via Zoom from the safety of my home.
Right. Okay, so today's check-in is going to be on a somewhat, I think, potentially divisive topic because we're going to be talking about shopping online. And I say divisive not because it's controversial, but simply because from what I've observed from my own habits, from my friends, people seem to largely fall into different categories here. There are people who've fallen into retail therapy, just buying to feel better. Others who've not been in a spending mood at all. Others who are primarily shopping for necessities such as groceries online. I kind of veer back and forth. So I'm in the retail therapy camp, but then I hate myself for it a little bit and I go way too sharply into not wanting to spend any more money ever again. So it's a process.
Yeah, this MCO has definitely kept my impulsive shopping habits at bay because I actually haven't bought a single thing online, besides ordering food.
That doesn't make you better than me, Hezrul.
I see, because the thing is, I'm really bad at gauging sizes for clothes and shoes, and I'm afraid I'll need to go through the hassle of exchanging items to find the perfect fit. But that's also before we start thinking about how this is affecting people who do own online retail businesses, right? You know, who've had to adjust for this time and also how that's affected their brands and their marketing.
Totally, which is why we thought today we would talk on both sides of the equation, from the sides of people who are shopping, as well as the people who are hoping that people will shop. So checking in with us, we have Emma Chong Johnston, freelance writer, and Ahmed Anis, who's the co-founder and CEO of Whimsical. Emma, Anis, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, guys.
Okay, so let's start things off. Oh, wait, before that, guys, let us know how you've been shopping. You know, have you been shopping a lot online? What have your habits been like? If you'd like to join in our Twitter poll as well, you can, of course, call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So, okay, generally speaking, pre-MCO, were you much of an online shopper? Emma, can you start us off?
Well, this is a loaded question for me because I am, like all my friends know, I'm a massive shopper, and it's something that I've been trying to deal with over the last year or so in line with sustainability. You know, obviously there's a lot of controversy about fast fashion and things like that. So that's definitely something I've been working on. And yeah, I think in the last year before MCO, I was getting there. I was working on the shopping habit, and then MCO happened and it's kind of thrown everything for a loop a bit.
I understand. I completely understand. Anis, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of like shop like the one or two parcels coming to the office every week. Mostly guy stuff, you know, electronics, gadgets, those kind of stuff.
And Emma, what did you find yourself shopping for previously?
Oh, it's clothes, basically. Mainly clothes, make beauty. But yeah, primarily, like probably 90% clothes and shoes. Primarily fast fashion as well. So it was pretty much all bad.
No. Safe space. We're working with the principles of a safe space. And how would you describe yourself as a shopper, right? Like, especially when you're looking at online shops, what were you looking for? Were you looking for good reviews, services? Were you brand sensitive? You know, were you looking for good prices? Emma, what did you look for?
I think when I was kind of in the thick of like clothes shopping all the time, I was very much one of those shoppers who I had extensive wish lists across like multiple sites. And I would like check in on them and like wait for prices to drop. So yeah, I mean, obviously there were certain brands that I was looking at, but I think one of the power of online shopping now is that you can keep so many tabs open and you know when you don't have to pay full price for anything. And that was one of the things that always got me. So I was very much kind of like a bargain hunter. And so then when I started kind of changing, trying to change my habits, I, yeah, kind of leaning towards that fewer but better philosophy. So then I have started, you know, really trying to focus on like local brands, brands with a history of sustainability or transparency, things like that. So that's like the ultimate goal. But on a base level, it's like kind of price is the king.
And Anis, on your part, you said, you know, mostly guy stuff is what you get sent to your office. What principles were you shopping for? Is it price, reviews?
The first thing I would say is always like reviews. I wouldn't mind paying a bit more if it's from a company or from someone who has better reviews than the others. Then obviously I'll be looking for local suppliers. I always prefer local suppliers compared to the ones overseas. It's just that it's online therapy, right? I want it fast. I want it tomorrow. I don't want to wait 3 weeks for it. So it's always reviews. Make sure they have a good track record. If I have friends who've bought from them before, then I'll go to ask my friends. And then after that, it's price.
Right. Hmm. Well, I have to commend both you, you and Emma, for considering prices, because I think I find myself like saying like, okay, you know, I'll only buy one of this regardless of the price, and then I won't spend for another few weeks, which usually doesn't end up working.
Yeah, but, because I know it doesn't work, because I know I'll spend on something else the next week, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah, because you say your parcels come in on a weekly basis, don't they? So how has, you know, your own experiences informed the way that you design your online platforms for your respective businesses? Anis, maybe you can start.
Yeah, when, you know, buying from different websites, you definitely take into account, you kind of make a mental note of the process, like what it's like to buying from on different platforms. Recently, I had to make a return from one of my items, and it was such a hassle that I really made sure, okay, let's make sure that our brand, we make it easy for our customers to return. Like, that's top priority, especially during MCO. We don't want people lining up in Post Laju for 2 hours just to return something. So it's definitely every time you shop, you kind of, okay, take into account the steps that you go through and what can be easier for our own customers. Mm. Yeah. Always taking mental notes on those kind of stuff.
Mm. And Emma?
I want to preface this by saying that my e-commerce platform is very much a side hustle. So like, I don't really want to put myself in the same bracket as some of the bigger brands, but I've completely wound down during MCO. When this all kicked off, I was like, not an essential service. I sell hair clips. So yeah, I've kind of halted everything. I didn't think the product that I was offering was worth kind of the risks involved. And also I really wasn't sure what the appetite would be for kind of more frivolous purchases at this time. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take a break and like not have to worry about it. Also, I have a 2-year-old at home all the time with me now. So that makes things a bit more difficult. So yeah, I've effectively stopped operations completely.
And Anis, what about you? I mean, how have things been with Whimsygirl, and what kind of adjustments have you guys had to make?
Definitely working from home. So everyone now works from home every morning, and every afternoon we Zoom meeting. But we also have to fulfill orders. So 3 times a week, someone or 2 person will be in the warehouse fulfilling orders, making sure they keep their distance apart. We didn't fulfill orders the first week, but as it gets longer, we kind of figure out, okay, this is going to be for the long haul, so we can't keep holding orders for too long. So we decided, okay, let's fulfill orders, but make sure there's no one else in the office.
And plus,
because our office is in like a remote location, so there's, we kind of like from door to door, right? From your house to the office straight away without stopping anywhere.
And I guess, what have you observed about people's shopping habits? I mean, are people, have sales dropped, or are people continuing to buy the way they were before?
So it's kind of like a unique situation, right? Like it's coming up towards Ramadan and Raya. So people are expecting, fashion brands are expecting like sales to pick up right about this time. But then MCO happened. So of course it's picking up, but you have to compare it with the same timeline as last year. So you'll see a drop comparing to last year. We are all expecting at least a 30-40% drop, but you know, sales are better than other months, but it's picking up just because it's Raya. Mm. Yeah.
So on the line, checking in with us today, we have Emma Chong Johnston, freelance writer, and Ahmad Anis, co-founder and CEO of Whimsical. And today we're talking about shopping online, both from the point of view of being a shopper as well as being a business that primarily runs online and is having to adjust to these new realities. If you'd like to weigh in, I mean, what have your online shopping habits been like recently? Do you yourself run a business? You can, of course, call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back on the Daily Check-In, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is 4:18 in the afternoon, and you're with Lynn and Hezril on the Daily Check-In. Joining us also, of course, Emma Chong Johnston, freelance writer, and Ahmad Anis, the co-founder of Whimsical. And together we're talking about retail, primarily shopping online, being the people that you hope will buy. Okay, that's a convoluted way of saying people who sell online. So basically, people on both sides of the equation. And we do have a Twitter poll running, which has asked, have you been shopping online during the MCO? And it's neck and neck, actually, between, yep, quite a lot. That's at 37.2%. And then 39.4% are saying only for necessities. So I thought that that would be a good one to pose to Emma and Anis as well. Like, how are you guys shopping at the moment? You know, do you find that you have been buying a lot of stuff? Anis, what about you?
I still buy, not as much as before. And it's mostly like shifted towards household stuff. Mm. So I would say more of the essential things right now.
Emma?
I have been buying more than usual. Still not, I don't think like I'm at peak capacity. I don't think I'm buying as much as I would have been doing like this time last year. And really random things like, which I think a lot of people can identify with, because you know when you're stuck at home and there are things about your house that bug you or that have always bugged you, but you're just like, oh, it's not urgent. And then suddenly when you're home all the time, you need to fix them straight away. So like I had this like the other day, I was like, this is insanity. I need more storage boxes. And so yeah, so like I went on Shopee and bought more storage boxes like and without really thinking about it. So it's just like a different kind of impulse shopping.
Well, I respect your attempt to do, you know, something productive besides work, which I find myself in right now. But Anis, Whimsical's social media messaging has shifted quite a bit during the MCO, focusing on helpful tips and such in place of your products. What's that, you know, change been like, and how has it been received by consumers?
Yeah, these couple of weeks, we've been focusing a lot of more on content about giving more value to our customers. I think it's something that we always wanted to do, just that we didn't get to it. And with the MCO, it's like, okay, this is the opportunity for us to go all out of that. Plus with the fact that I don't think people are in the shopping mode yet. As it gets closer to Ramadan and Raya, then it'll pick up again. So, okay, let's use this opportunity to do something that we really want, something that we've been delaying. The feedback has been great so far. I think it's good that we highlight all these content creators, all these different people on our platform. So indirectly, they are benefiting from us as well. So it's like kind of like giving back to the ecosystem. It's been good so far, and we've seen very positive reviews from our customers based on our live session.
And do you think this you know, new outreach that you've been meaning to do, is this something you'll plan on carrying through you know, post MCO?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that we found, okay, this connects our followers, this connects our customers. And it's good to have this all throughout the year. Maybe not as often, but definitely continuing it moving forward.
Yeah, I completely get that, because I think some of the brands that I'm following on social media are continuing to push sales and tell me about products, and it doesn't always fit the mood. So I completely understand where you're coming from, because not everybody's in a shopping mode. Emma, what have you been observing brands doing on social media at the moment, especially the ones that you follow?
So I follow primarily, I'm trying to follow primarily local brands at the moment. And I think that I think what's happening now is kind of indicative of something that's been happening over the last few years. And Anis, you'll know about this because Whimsy Girl is kind of at the forefront of this. But there's been a real increase in support for local brands, I've found. I think there's people have definitely changed their perception of the value of local products, and they're more a lot more willing to spend on local products and to kind of promote them. And that kind of sentiment has been a really good setup for a time like this, for basically a crisis, because you have all these local brands that have these really strong communities of support around them. So that's what I've been seeing mainly on social media, is that, you know, you have these customer bases and these fans basically who are really willing to help out local brands, whether that is through buying their product or if even just like engaging with them on social media, like amplifying their message. So that's been a really nice thing to see, I think. Definitely, I don't know if it's specific to Malaysia, but definitely there's been a lot of support for more local brands now.
And what specific brands have stood out to you among the local brands that you have been following? Maybe perhaps besides Whimsy Girl.
I think there's that there is that trend among a lot of the smaller local brands with like Whimsy Girl creating content that is not like hard sell and is useful. One brand I've noticed doing a lot is Hanya, and they've been doing kind of like almost daily Instagram lives with different personalities and members of the community, focusing on like different topics of wellness or like cooking, more fun things, some more serious matters. I noticed a lot of the local brands have also kind of pledged part of their proceeds to local COVID funds. So like the Straits Finery, I know Nalissa Hillman has also set up, I mean, even like kind of the big platforms like Shopee and Lazada have their own ways of channeling money into COVID funds. So that's been another thing that's been really good to see.
Anis, have you seen anything that's caught your eye?
I think it's quite similar to what Emma has been looking at. I follow mostly fashion brands, obviously. And everyone's kind of like, okay, let's find a new way to market our customer, to connect with them. We don't want to just hard sell in a time like this. So let's give more value to everyone. Yeah, let's give back instead of just taking it in, right?
Emma, just now you mentioned storage boxes as being something that emerged as a shopping option in this time. Are there other new corners of the online retail world that you've discovered since the MCO began?
I get served a lot of homemade cookie ads on Instagram, so that's new for me. What this tells you about what my phone is picking up for my conversation. I've also noticed that there are a lot of online plant sellers, and like this kind of blows my mind because I don't understand how it works, but I completely understand why there would be a need for it, because I'm like, I want more plants, but you can't just pop out to a nursery at the moment. So yeah, there's a lot of online plant sellers. Other than that, I've been spending a lot more time on kind of the like Shopee and Lazada, that kind of platform, and the breadth and range of product on there is really quite mind-boggling. Like today I found out you could get a curtain tie back tassel for like ₱1, and that was like, I was like, oh, okay. And you can see stats as well, like this particular seller had sold over 1,000 of these curtain tie backs, and so that was interesting.
Emma, I'm sorry, how much was shipping? Because if the thing is a ringgit, how much is shipping? I need to know.
I think it was still like 5 ringgit for shipping. And then you had to, in order to get free shipping, you had to spend over 50 ringgit. So that's 50 curtain Thai bahts, which is, you know, quite a lot.
And therein lies their business model. Anis, what about you? Have you been finding any new sort of little corners of online shopping?
Definitely like kids activities and toys. So like things to get the kids occupied at home. So digging into deeper into Shopee, Lazada, even Instagram sellers. Just looking at Instagram accounts and different things to get them to do some activities and things at home. Yeah, that's a deep rabbit hole that once you go in, you don't really come out.
I can only imagine. Okay, so we kind of started off the show by talking about our different feelings, I think, surrounding shopping and retail therapy. So right now, I think a lot of people are feeling uncertain, stressed, not least about money. What are your thoughts on retail therapy as a way of coping with the MCO, whether, you know, from what you've observed or from what you yourself are going through?
I think as someone who has definitely leaned on retail therapy quite heavily in the past, I mean, it's not a particularly productive way of coping with things, I could say. And I mean, from personal experience, I know that, you know, long term, it's not very effective. But I think also these are completely unprecedented times, right? None of us have dealt with this kind of situation before. There's so many different varieties of stress that are happening. And like, I don't think it's not a productive thing to be able to judge other people's ways of coping, you know? So if retail therapy is what you need to get through this, then, you know, go for it. Like, just maybe with the understanding that it is a temporary fix. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's productive to judge other people for coping in ways that are different to yours.
Anis, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's whatever you need to do to feel good, right? At this point, nobody's judging. You can buy anything you want as often as you want. You kind of like save a lot from not going out. So channel your budget towards shopping if you want. But definitely I see like a shift, like Emma said just now, like a shift to buy only local products. Everyone's in this mindset, okay, that we need to kind of help out people around us. So let's help them out by buying their stuff. So I get that mentality a lot. And my friends have been saying that to me too.
Mm. Do you both see this time changing the way you shop or the way people shop in general? Like one thing that comes to mind, I know, Emma, you mentioned earlier that sustainability is important to you, up there with price when you shop online. But just reading the news and hearing people, there's been a lot of conversations on, you know, the use of single-use plastics increasing because it's more sanitary than, you know, even simple things like bringing your own mugs to a coffee shop. So what changes have you observed when it comes to shopping?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I think the main problem that I forgot to mention earlier with going crazy on online shopping right now is that also that it places a lot of stress on the postal system. Like I had a chat with my postaju guy yesterday because he rocked up at my door at like 8 p.m., which is very late for a postaju guy. And he was like basically saying they were completely slammed, the whole country. They were all trying to help each other out because they all have their little districts as much as possible. But just it was crazy. And which made me feel really bad because, you know, it's not one of those things that springs to mind immediately when you press by that someone is going to have to deliver it to you and that someone is also exposing themselves to the risk of virus, additional social contact, that kind of thing. And then also, you know, things like warehouse staff, fulfillment staff. And I know a lot of companies have taken measures to increase social distancing for their staff, but it's not a perfect situation. And obviously with single-use plastic as well, that's also not great for the environment. But it is what the industry needs to do right now to cope. And, you know, there's also the bigger looming question of the economy, right? And that's, you know, you've got to keep, I know it's no one's individual responsibility to keep the economy going, but as a shopper, I think that is also what you're contributing to. You're contributing to that, to the economy at large. So it's a total minefield, really. And I don't think there are any best case scenarios right now, or even when we emerge from this. I like to think that it will make people a bit more conscious about the retail decisions they'll make after when we come out of lockdown. But, you know, it's really impossible to say, because also, you know, it would be a completely legitimate way to celebrate by going crazy and doing all the things that you weren't able to do. So it's I don't think I've answered the question at all, because it's a very tricky one.
It is tricky, but I also I guess I'm curious about it in the context of you being somebody who had been trying to actively change their shopping habits, you know, prior to all of this anyway. So do you think that there might be permanent changes for you, at least, you know, never mind like everybody else, but for you?
I like to think so. I like to think that I will just go back to the, you know, fewer but better. And I think that's also a kind of a journey. It's not like a switch you make. I will be continually trying to be a more sustainable shopper and a more kind of responsible shopper. But, you know, also with things like as a freelance writer, my income is incredibly sporadic and unpredictable, especially right now. So coming out of this, you know, I may not have the funds to spend on expensive but sustainable items. Mm-hmm. So that's a consideration as well. I don't think it should be, obviously it shouldn't be the only consideration when it comes to buying things, but it's definitely a concern.
And what about on your end, Anais? Do you foresee yourself, once you go back in the office, receiving your 1 to 2 packages per week of man stuff?
Yeah, but I'm the kind of guy who would like research an item to death before I buy it. So I'll make sure that I really need it. If I'm going to use it, I'm going to use it to its full potential, not just buying it out of on a whim, right? So that has always been me, so I don't see that changing. But on a more general side, yeah, I do see more people be more receptive to online shopping. A lot of people are very scared of online shopping even now. So you see people are shifting their behaviors. So that's a plus point for e-commerce sites, right?
Yeah. And how do you think, so Ramadan's in a couple of days, and you know, typically at this time people will already start thinking of buying stuff for Raya, and usually we'll have, all the malls will have those huge discounts. But what do you think the shopping patterns will be like for this Raya? Anais?
I think people will still shop. I don't think people will stop shopping. They will still shop. It's just that maybe not on the same volume as before. So maybe before they'll buy like 5 sets of clothes. Now maybe they'll buy 3. So shopping will still be there. It's just not on the same volume. Yeah.
Okay. So in closing then, I guess, Emma, do you see brands potentially having to pivot product offerings as a way to adapt to new shopping behaviors? Do you think that this is something that we're going to see happen for the rest of this year, maybe into next year?
I think so. Well, I hope so, because I'm mainly hope so from kind of like the larger brands, like kind of the fast fashion brands. I think there is definitely like a growing distaste for that kind of disposable fashion, especially right now. And I think a lot of the big brands have been called out on that kind of marketing you were talking about earlier, just like still really pushing their product really hard, being like, do you need a new top for your Zoom meeting? When clearly the answer is no, nobody needs a new top for their Zoom meeting, right? So I'm hoping that that kind of consciousness will change and that the pushback from consumers will be enough to hopefully kind of adjust that kind of mindset, that the like you know, buying huge amounts of like disposable clothing, wearing it once, and you know, throwing it away. I'm hoping that would change. I do think people will be a lot more cautious about spending their money after this, especially because obviously a lot of incomes will be affected. So yeah, hopefully that will be kind of a motivation to change shopping habits a little bit, look at more responsibly sourced items. But maybe that is an overly optimistic way of looking at things.
Well, I mean, fingers crossed. Anis, for a brand that has always had some of these elements really kind of at the core of it, right, in the first place, will you be looking to change any of your product offerings or the way Whimsy Girl functions, I guess, to deal with the new normal?
Yeah. So our brand always stands for, like, we always create something. We always say it's a solution for everyday girls, right? So what we offer is always something that you really need and going to be in your closet for years and years to come. So that's our kind of like our core values to our brand. So we're going to continue with our core values, and we see the consumer shift towards it a lot more faster. You've seen it happening in other countries. So this MCO is just going to push that behavior to the general Malaysian public. So we feel that, okay, we are on the right track. Let's continue doing it and just push the message out louder, right? You don't need 100 clothes in your closet, right? You just need those essential pieces and basically leave off what you have.
Emma, Anis, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You just heard there from Emma Chung Johnston, freelance writer, and Ahmad Anis, co-founder and CEO of Whimsy Girl, talking about online shopping. So if you would like to weigh in on what your habits have been, what have things been like for you, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been The Daily Check-In on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.